almost reminds me a little bit about the story of my life living in Alabama 22 years expecting to preach and pastor there until I went home to glory. And when I stepped away from Sweet Springs to come to Tabernacle, that God put my brother in the house that I bought and he became pastor there. And I would say for somebody to be the pastor of a man that goes to South Africa and then in the missions conference surrenders and he goes to Africa and that man comes back from Africa and takes the church. Anybody see God in that? I guess that just happened to work out, didn't it? That looks like somebody that's got a great design and plan. And I'd like to say to you tonight, whoever you are listening tonight, radio, internet, and here in the auditorium, God has a plan for your life. God does not just have a plan for a man that's a missionary or a pastor or an evangelist. God has a plan for every one of his children that he puts into his family. He's got a plan for you. He has something that he wants you to accomplish. I'm sure if you went around the room tonight and asked certain people if they were surprised at what God had them to do, I have no doubt that Brother Stewart, God's plan was for him to be the custodian and caretaker of Tabernacle Baptist Church. He started a church in North Carolina. He could have pastored there, but you know what he's ended up doing? He's ended up staying right here on these grounds all these years, and he has to stay here until I retire another 10 or 15 years from now. Amen. I think if you were to ask somebody like Brother Robbie would tell you, you know, he never had any plans to be a smuggler of the Bible into a country in Asia. He would have told you, I've got other plans and I'm going to fulfill them here. I'll be the administrator of the school or I'll lead the singing. And no, God said, no, I think what I want you to do is I want you to use your life to get Bibles into another country. And I think if you were to ask him, are you satisfied? I think they'd tell you yes. So why don't you take your Bible, Isaiah 6, and I'm not going to look at my clock, and I have no notes, and I changed my message sitting in the pew, which I would never recommend to you Bible college students to do. I mean that. But I don't know how many times Brother Curtis said the word that I'm going to preach on, surrender. He said it over and over again. Plan to raise my children in this church, see a slide presentation and says, I'm surrendered if that's what you want me to do. That's a yieldedness. You know, when Japan was defeated at the end of World War II, they sought for terms. And when they asked for terms, they had things that they put forward. And the reply back from the leadership of the United States military was, no, there are no terms. This is total surrender. That we will not give you any kind of arrangements or there will be no affairs set in order beforehand, that you are to capitulate and to sign a total and complete surrender over to the government of the United States. And that's exactly what they did. Total surrender, not partial, but total. If you look in the passage, I know you know the passage. The Bible says in verse 1, in the year that King Uzziah died, great man, great king, I saw also the Lord sitting upon the throne, high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. Above it stood the seraphims. Each one had six wings. With twain he covered his face, and with twain he covered his feet, and with twain he did fly. And one cried unto another and said, holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. And the post of the door moved at the voice of him that cried, and the house was filled with smoke. If you're going to be surrendered, first what you're going to have to do is you're going to have to see the Lord in his rightful place. Listen, this man had an allegiance and really had a responsibility as a prophet in Israel to not only follow the Lord, but to submit himself to his king, King Uzziah. And the Bible says that in the year that King Uzziah died, I saw also the Lord sitting upon a throne. And I'm telling you tonight, if you're ever going to live a surrendered life, you've got to get off the throne and you've got to allow God to take his rightful place. It has to be something that you say in my heart, God, I am yielding to you whatever you want. I am going to move off of the place that I have. I'm seated on the throne of my heart. But I'm going to step aside from the throne of my heart. And I'm going to allow you to take a seat here. And whatever you want, you let me know, and I'll be willing to do it for you. That's exactly what happened with the disciples. The disciples were minding their own business. Peter and Andrew taking care of things with their boat. And the Lord walks by and he said, follow me and I will make you to be fishers of men. And they left their business and the boat behind. James and John are in their boat sitting, mending their nets. Dad is in the boat with them. And they are all together in the family business. Jesus walks by and says, follow me and I will make you to be fishers of men. And they left their family and they left the business and they followed Jesus Christ. Matthew is sitting at the table of receipt. That means that on that table there is money there. And he is a tax collector, if you would. And he is taking, and the people of Israel are coming to him and paying their taxes. The Lord comes by and tells Matthew, he says, follow me, and I will make you to be fishers of men. And he gets up from the table, and he follows the Lord Jesus Christ. Elisha is out plowing with 12 yoke of oxen, and he with the 12. And Elijah comes by after God had instructed him, and he cast his mantle upon him. And Elisha runs after him, and he tells him, listen, give me just a little bit of time, and I'll follow you. And he says, what have I done to thee? And he goes back, and I don't know if you've ever heard it, He burnt the plow, killed the cow, and he followed the Lord Jesus Christ. And all I'm saying, total surrender means, God, my heart is your throne. Whatever you want, God, all you have to do is speak the word. Now, let me say something to you. God deserves that seat. In fact, that's why if you look, verse number 3, and one cried unto another and said, holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. If there's anybody you want sitting on the throne of your heart, it's the Holy One of Israel. It is a God that has no filth, that has no corruption. Listen, anything that God chooses to do in your life, he's right. He's right. He can see the beginning from the end. And I think it takes a lot for some people to get up off that throne of their heart and say, okay, God, whatever you want. I'm reminded of a young man. He was given a scholarship to play football. And he was a pretty good athlete. And it came time for him to sign his letter of intent so he could go attend the college. And in that time frame, God began to deal with his heart, and really he ended up getting saved, and he really felt like that God had called him to preach. And so he had to debate between, do I actually go and sign my letter of intent and go to college, which is my dream, and I could play football, or do I actually say no, instead I'm going to go to Bible college and I'm going to learn how to preach the gospel. Well, he brought this to his coach's attention, and they said, son, preach all you want, whenever you want to. But for the next 4 years, you need to come to our college and you need to play football. And he said, no, I believe really. And he wrestled with it. And he ended up making the decision, I think what I'm going to do, instead of going and playing college football on scholarship, I am going to take instead, I'm going to follow the Lord Jesus Christ and I'm going to start training for the ministry. And those coaches, and I'm not just talking about coaches in college, but in high school, told him, you're crazy. You have lost your mind. You are giving up a chance of a lifetime, because there are very few people that ever go from high school to play college football or college basketball or baseball. You're crazy. You should come here with us. And here's what he did. He got off the throne of his heart and he said, God, what do you want me to do? God sat down and he said, I want you to preach the gospel. And I'm telling you, that man went to the mission field. Are you listening? He started several churches. He is serving the Lord faithfully. I guarantee you his body is in better shape because of it. You know what he did? He had to get off the throne of his heart and say, God, whatever you want, I'm willing to let you take that seat. Have you done that? Have you done that? I know when you get to that point, you think, well, that's a young man's choice. Oh, I don't think so. You know how old Moses was when he began to lead the children of Israel? 80 years of age. I can still remember the day my granddaddy called us and told us, I'm going to resign from Victory Baptist Missionary Church that he started when he bought that bar. And he said, I'm going to go to the mission field. Granddaddy, you're going to the mission field at 80? Yes. He said, I'm going to start Raven Ministries and I'm going to the mission field. Well, you know, conventional wisdom says at 80, you probably don't need to be praying about going to the mission field. And yet he went and God used him. And until the last year of his life, 88 years of age, from 80 to 87, I'm telling you, he traveled all over the world. He was in Moscow, Romania, Mexico. God let my grandfather, who was a construction foreman, did not have any great education. One year at Tennessee Temple, he just said, God, I'm getting off the throne of my heart. You tell me what you want me to do. And at 80, after pastoring a church he started from scratch, God said, mission field. He said, I'm in. And I'm telling you, never regretted a day of that in his life. Who's sitting on the throne of your heart? Because if you're there, you'll never be surrendered. Second thing I want you to notice is this. Look at verse number 5. First of all, seeing the Lord in his rightful place. Verse number 5, then said I, woe is me, for I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. For mine eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. You know, if you'll see God for who he is in his rightful place, that'll help you to see you for who you really are. Have you ever heard somebody boast about when they get to heaven, they're going to ask God questions? Do you know a perfect man in the Bible by the name of Job had the same idea? He said, I wish that I had a pen that was made out of iron with the point of a diamond, and I would write these things down and I would bring my causes to God. And after God showed up and spoke to him there in chapters 39 and 40 and 41, you know what he said? I put my hand on my mouth. I'm going to sit in sackcloth and ashes. I'm not going to say a word. I am unclean and undone. You know, people on the earth tried to ask the Lord questions that would maybe make him have a hard time to give an answer. Oh, there was one man, Lord, that had a wife and he had 7 brothers and each one died and each one took her. And in the resurrection, then whose wife shall she be? He said, man, you guys do greatly err, not knowing the power of God or the scriptures. They asked him other questions and he would give answers. And he even asked them, he said, God is the God of the living. He said, I am the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And those men finally, after they asked their sets of questions, you know what they did? They asked him no more questions. And all I'm just saying is this, you and I ought to understand our place. You need to see yourself in your place. If there's a Bible college student here that you think that you ought to be the next D.L. Moody or the next Charles Spurgeon or that you ought to be the next Harold Seitler, you're standing in the wrong place. Now, I'm not saying you shouldn't have great dreams and ambition, but really when you get right down to it, you know what Paul said of himself? Are you listening to me? He said, I am less than the least of all saints. Paul said, I am the chief of sinners. When we get right down to it, we have no business telling God what he ought to do with our life. God ought to tell us whatever he wants to because we're just privileged to be on the team. Listen, if God gave us what we deserved, if we didn't have God's grace and God's mercy in our life, there would none of us be employed in doing anything for the Lord. Yet we have a gracious God that extends the opportunity for you and I to do something we shouldn't get the chance to do. Amen. I've said before, if people knew who I was, they wouldn't listen to me preach. But if people knew who you were, they wouldn't listen to you sing.
Right. Amen.
Right. And so what he does, he says, he says, woe is me. Look at it. Look at the personal pronoun. Woe is me, for I am undone. I am a man of unclean lips. He said, I'm the one that's got the problems. I'm the one that has the flaws. And I see myself flawed and I'm undone. But I see the Lord high and seated on the throne, and that's the right place for him. And me being here on the bottom end of the row is where I belong. It's just like the kid that sits at the bottom of the bench that the coach says about in the third quarter, hey son, you're in. And his eyes get this big. I don't think that resonated with some of you. It did with some of you. You know, some people said, boy, I just can't wait to play. Let me play. Let me play. Okay, you're in. Really? Yeah, you're in. Go ahead. And when you see yourself for who you are, come on, listen. We are all sinners saved by the grace of God. You are not doing God a favor by walking with him. He is doing you a favor for allowing you to walk with him. It's all of God's grace. And so Isaiah sees the Lord in his rightful place, and he sees himself for who he is. Aren't you glad that God uses broken pieces? Aren't you glad of that? Then the third thing. The Bible says, then flew one of the seraphims unto me, having a live coal in his hand, which he had taken with the tongs from off the altar. And he laid it upon my mouth and said, lo, this has touched thy lips. Thine iniquity is taken away and thy sin purged. Do you understand how submitted Isaiah had to be right there? I want you to look at the wording again. Then flew one of the seraphims unto me, having a live coal in his hand. That means he took from off the altar a red hot coal. That's what it means by live. It's burning hot. The Bible says in his hand, which he had taken off the tongs with tongs from the altar. I have heard it said the reason he couldn't touch that altar because he wasn't holy enough, so he took the tongs and pulled it off. But now he's got that live coal in his hand. Now look what it says. And he laid it upon my mouth. How many of you think that that's remarkable? Come on, think for a minute. A live coal in his hand. And he said, he laid it upon my mouth. We have got enough parents in here. Did your children rebel against eating mashed up English peas in a little jar? Did they ever do that? Yeah, I remember a lady telling me one time, she said, Pastor, if you want to know what it's like to feed a baby, she said, get you a melon, cut a hole in it, put it on a rope, swing it back and forth, and start practicing by trying to get that stuff into its mouth. I remember my kids, some of them just like their daddy. What would you do? Listen, I believe Dr. Aiken and I have a great relationship. If I had in my hand a hot coal, and I walked over and I said, if you don't mind, Dr. Aiken, would you pucker up? I'd like to put this on your mouth. What do you think he would say? His wife said, go ahead. Now, I'm gonna tell you the first word out of most Baptist mouth, because we are independent, aren't we? Come on now, we're independent. You're the first word out of a Baptist mouth. Why you want to do that? I'm looking at a seraphim. Why do you want to put that on my mouth? What good will it do? And you know, I read the passage, and it just says, he laid it upon my mouth. Doesn't that seem so genteel? He laid it. There's no struggle. Some of you in here, you are struggling with being submitted to God's will. It is something you're struggling with. You know what? Would you quit the fight and the struggle and just say, God, I'm going to trust you because you're trustworthy. Amen. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, not part of it, 75%. Not trust in the Lord with all thine heart. You say, why would I do that? Because he's trustworthy. He saw the Lord in his rightful place. And that's going to help you get surrendered. Then he saw himself for who he was. And then he submitted himself to the Lord's work in his life. But he's not surrendered yet. Now look at the next verse. Also, there's your connecting conjunction. Also, I heard the voice of the Lord. In other words, all of these things up until this point, really, There's nothing going on as far as speech going back and forth between the Lord and Isaiah. He is seeing him in his rightful place. He's seeing himself, and he's allowing that coal to be placed on it. He's submitted, but he hasn't heard God say anything yet. But now in verse 8 it says, also I heard the Lord saying. Now he hears God's voice. Whom shall I send, and whom will go for us? Then said I, are you watching? Here's surrender. Here am I, Lord, send me. If that's what you want. 5 years ago, before I made a phone call to the chairman of the deacons, I sat at a table. And I knew what it was going to be when it comes to a bittersweet farewell, Brother Curtis. My family was in the church. People that I'd led to Christ, people that I got to marry, to see their children born, to see them step toward ministry, people that I'd made great memories with, going hunting and watching Alabama win football games. And I kept looking for a way for God to close the door. And that Sunday afternoon, sitting there at my desk, I just said, Lord, you have kept this door open. And it's like God said, yeah, are you going to walk through it? Boy, and when I finally said, okay, man, broke down crying in my office there in Alabama, made the call, then went straight to my family and then to my mother, and then started telling, listen, here's what's fixing to happen. Now, you know what? I am so glad that I was surrendered to God's will. I would have been happy to stay where I was privileged to pastor for the rest of my life. But I'm so glad that God has allowed me to see the things that have taken place here. If there are things that have happened here, I hope I never forget. Just like when those freezers went out and we didn't have freezers, and Dr. Kerrigan called, I believe it was Dr. Kerrigan, and we got two freezers given to us, and then a pastor from down in Resaca, there was a meeting down there, and he had the meat, and by the time you put it all together, one freezer goes out, it's going to cost this amount of money, we got two free freezers, and we got food, meat coming to fill it, and God just did that like it was nothing. Now, that may not be impressive to you, but I sat back and said, there's nobody going to believe a story like this. They're going to think you're lying. They're going to think you're evangelistically speaking. But I watched it happen. And I've seen so many things happen here. Yeah, I'm glad I got to take part in a revival back in April that I saw so many things happen. And kids, listen, stepping forward and not just getting saved, but John Stratton gave testimony there in North Carolina, microphone put in his hand. He said, I just want to say that I surrendered my life back to the Lord back in April. He said, and that's the best decision I've ever made. Amen. But you know, you don't get to see any of that unless you surrender. You don't get to see coming home from the Ukraine, pastoring a church for 7 years when the pastor goes to South Africa. The pastor finishes two churches and what he started there and comes back home. And God picking you up and saying, I'm going to send you to Malawi, taking him and plugging him right back into the same church. You don't get to see any of that if you're not surrendered. But wow, what God will do with you if you'll just say, Lord, I'm getting off the throne of my heart. It belongs to you. I see myself for who I am. And Lord, I'm going to submit myself to whatever you want. And then surrender takes place. Amen. And that's what we heard tonight. I'd like to hear I surrender all. I don't know how we're going to do that. Who wants to do that? Beginning of the year, it might be good for you to just get up out of your seat tonight. We don't have to stand. Get on an altar and say, you know what, Lord? I surrender. Maybe you've surrendered in the past. I tell you, Isaiah was an older man. I don't think he's a young man there. He'd surrendered in the past. He surrendered again. Okay, Lord, I'll do whatever you want me to do. Here I am, Lord. Maybe as a young person, you'd say, God, please, I want to give you the seat of my heart. Mom, you'll never give your family a better gift than giving them a mother who is yielded and surrendered to God. Dad, you'll never give your home a better gift than saying, Lord, I'm just going to be yielded. I'm going to be surrendered. Whatever you want, Lord. You write the rest of this story. Oh, what a story it could be. Why don't we sing a verse of that, Brother Stevens, would you?
All to Jesus I surrender. All to Him I freely give. I will ever love and trust Him, in His presence daily live. I surrender all. I surrender all. All to Thee, my blessed Savior, I surrender all. All to Jesus I surrender. Humbly at His feet I bow. Worldly pleasures all forsaken, take me, Jesus, take me now. I surrender all. I surrender all. All to Thee, my blessed Savior, I surrender all. All to Jesus I surrender. Lord, I give myself to Thee.
Sing, can you sing?
Fill me with Thy love and power. Let Thy blessings fall on me.
Sing that.
I surrender all. I surrender all. To Thee, my blessed Savior, I surrender all.
Amen. What a welcome life to be able to live. Logan, where are you? Come here, brother. This is Logan Cockcroft. Come on, Brother Cock. Brother Logan, you have to come up here. I'm just going to let you walk up instead of me walking down, if that'll be all right. And while I'm doing that, I think I need to be surrendered to what the Lord wants. So I believe we ought to take the Curtis family on as missionaries. So how many in favor of taking on the Curtis family as missionaries? How many are happy about that? I believe God's going to do something. Brother Logan, if you'd come here. This is Logan Cockcroft. He is from Gate City, Virginia, is that right?
Yes, sir.
Out of Maranatha Baptist Temple, and he wants to come and join by, is that by letter or by statement?
Statement.
You want by statement? Okay, then step right on up.
I'm Logan Cockcroft. I prayed and I felt like God wanted me to attend here. I know Brother Dan and Jeanette Farrow. I just felt a lot of peace, and I'm looking forward to see what God does in my life, and I don't know what He wants me to do, but I know I want to do something for Him, and I just want to follow Him wherever He leads and whatever He guides and directs me.
Amen, amen. Wait, don't move away yet. So, have you been, come on back up. Have you been born again?
Yes, sir, I have.
When did you get saved, Logan?
I got saved on February 14 of 2014.
2014, amen.
Yes, sir.
Have you been scripturally baptized?
Yes, sir, I have.
Amen, all right. Well, all in favor of allowing Logan to join by statement, how about raising your right hand there? All right, well, here's what I want you to do. If you'll slip down front.
Yes.
And Daniel, you say you know Brother Logan, so why don't you, that gets confusing, doesn't it? We've got Logan Cockcroft, and we got Logan and Jessica Sipe, and then we got all kind of Logans running around here, and that just gets, it's kind of like Hannah. I don't know how many Hannahs we have here, but it's a bunch. And so, and then if you want to come by, you don't have to shake his hand, but if you'll just come by and tell him you're glad this. And then Brother Curtis, Miss Curtis, thank you so much, and youngins, we appreciate y'all coming tonight. Do y'all like ice cream? Do you? Me too. We can work on that. So how about somebody go over there just by your board there if you would, and the rest of us, let's stand our feet. It's raining outside, so you don't want to go out there anytime soon, so go by and let these folks know you appreciate them coming. I'm really impressed with what God's doing through the life of Brother Curtis. What a great example of surrender. And then Brother Logan joining tonight. So, all right, God bless you. You're dismissed.